Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, one of Georgia's most high-profile ICE detainees has been released after 15 months in federal custody. Officials are investigating another possible spill in the Flint River, and volunteers with Habitat for Humanity return to Atlanta for the 40th Carter Work Project.
And the Carters didn't do it for show. They came to work. So typically, with the press, they would say, okay, we'll give you a few minutes at the beginning of the day to get your photos, but from then on, we're working. We've got things to do. We've got a house to build.
Today is Monday, May 4th. I'm Orlando Montoya, and this is Georgia Today. A double amputee who became one of Georgia's most high-profile ICE detainees has been released after 15 months in federal custody. Advocates for Rodney Taylor of Gwinnett County announced his release yesterday, saying the Liberian native's health deteriorated significantly while he was at Stewart Detention Center in South Georgia. Taylor was brought to the U.S. on a medical visa when he was 2 years old, overstayed his visa, and received a pardon in 2010 for a burglary conviction that he pleaded guilty to as a teenager. He had a valid work permit and was in the process of obtaining his green card when he was arrested in January 2025. In a written statement, Taylor thanked his advocates, saying, quote, "I am proof that when people organize and refuse to look away, we can win." No further update on his legal case was provided. Officials are investigating after a petroleum-based substance was spotted in the Flint River near Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport. GPB's Pamela Kirkland reports.
Airport officials say they're working with environmental agencies to identify the material and source. Emails obtained by GPB show an alert was sent Wednesday, April 22nd. Officials say the petroleum-based product appeared weathered and may have mixed with hydraulic fluid. The development comes as a separate investigation remains underway into a January jet fuel spill at the airport. That leak went undetected for 8 days and led to the recovery of an estimated 28,000 gallons of jet fuel. In the airport's email, officials said the newly observed material does not appear to be related to that earlier incident. For GPB News, I'm Pamela Kirkland.
Georgia U.S. Senator and Reverend Raphael Warnock used his Sunday sermon to weigh in on last week's Supreme Court decision affecting the Voting Rights Act. Preaching at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Warnock criticized the ruling, which weakens key protections used to challenge discriminatory voting practices. Warnock pointed to what he described as growing gaps in voter turnout since earlier court decisions.
The Supreme Court said in their decision that we don't need these things because that racial turnout gap has all but disappeared. It is a lie. It is a bald-faced lie.
The ruling last week was a key victory for Republicans, striking down a map that included two majority black districts in Louisiana. The left-leaning group Fair Fight Action, based in Atlanta, says Democrats could lose 2 seats in Georgia's U.S. House delegation, 17 seats in the Georgia House, and 8 seats in the Georgia Senate if state lawmakers were to redraw the state's political maps based on the decision. Firefighters have made significant progress in their efforts to extinguish a large wildfire in southeast Georgia's Brantley County 2 weeks after it began. GPB's Chase McGee has more.
The fire is 75% contained after burning more than 22,000 acres. On Monday, county officials announced a return to business as usual. Evacuation orders have been lifted, the curfew is over, and trash pickup is resuming. Brantley County Manager Joey Kaysen says schools are also open to students who can't attend.
The schools made it clear that they don't want to put any pressure on children that might not be able to get back, but they are working towards getting that school back open and getting those kids there.
The most recent drought map classifies Brantley County and most of South Georgia in the exceptional drought category with burn bans still in effect. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
The Georgia Ports Authority began operations today at its new inland port in northeast Georgia. The $134 million facility near Gainesville connects shipments by rail to and from the Port of Savannah. It's expected to help Georgia manufacturers and agricultural producers reach international markets more quickly and take 26,000 truck road trips off Georgia highways in its first year. State officials plan to celebrate its grand opening later this year. When it comes to reproductive health, there's ample information about menstruation and pregnancy. But as women age, information gets harder to find. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more about a new study from Georgia Tech.
Hormone changes in menopausal women can cause hot flashes and mood swings that impact daily life and work. But there's little research available, and stigma keeps many people silent and alone. Navina Karusala is with Georgia Tech School of Interactive Computing and the Access to Information Study co-author. She says women often rely on each other.
And the workplace can be a really generative place to discuss this issue as well, because it really opens up your opportunity to socialize with a wider range of people. There might be, other women in your workplace going through the same thing.
She says questions about willingness to share data and participate in research will be addressed in future studies. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Georgia business leaders headlined several commencement celebrations across the state this month. Among other commencement plans, Emory University says Delta Airlines CEO Ed Bastian will deliver the keynote address at its ceremony on May 11th. Morehouse College says it plans to give an honorary degree to Southern Company CEO Chris Womack on May 17th. Georgia Tech says Jaime Galinsky of Nutresa, one of Latin America's largest food companies, will address graduates on May 8th. And Clayton State University says Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of Georgia President Corwin Harper will speak at its commencement on May 9th. Nearly 1,000 volunteers with Habitat for Humanity this week are building 24 affordable housing units in Atlanta for the 40th Carter Work Project. The intensive week-long building sessions, named after former President Jimmy Carter and his late wife Rosalynn, have constructed about 5,000 homes in 14 countries since 1984. The volunteer effort in the Sylvan Hills neighborhood is the first time the project has been in Atlanta since 1988, when the Carters helped build 21 homes in another neighborhood. Alan Merrill volunteered for that first Carter Work Project in Atlanta. He's been with the organization ever since and spoke with GPB today.
And the Carters didn't do it for show. They came to work. So typically, with the press, they would say, okay, we'll give you a few minutes at the beginning of the day to get your photos, but from then on, we're working. We've got things to do. We've got a house to build.
Atlanta-based Habitat for Humanity is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. If you haven't yet hit subscribe on this podcast, take a moment right now and keep us current in your podcast feed. Got feedback? We'd love to hear it. Email us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya. We'll be back again tomorrow with another edition of Georgia Today.